Welcome back to Moms After Bedtime. I am Brooke, and I am here with Mandy and Megan.
Hey.
Hi.
I was just thinking about this story real quick. Shay all the time now says, hi, guys, to everybody. And I think it's because she hears either our podcast or me on the Instagram story. But, yeah. That's hey, guys. It's a little bit embarrassing, to be honest, but still cute. Today is episode 46, and we're going to be talking about boundaries, which is a very broad topic, but and there's a lot to talk about within it. But first, we will start with our wine and cheese. Mandy, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. All right. My wine this week, I feel like it's a wine, but there's like some silver lining to it, some silver cheese.
Ew.
Yeah, and I'm like, So I woke up a couple days ago with like the worst, like that awful post-nasally drip. Ew. Like I'm getting sick feeling. You know what I mean? Where like your like neck is achy and like you just feel like you're coming down with something. And I just felt like – it felt like I got hit by like a bus. And it was – it just felt like a nasty cold. But, you know, of course, in the COVID world, you can't just push through it. So even though I – one, already had COVID. Two, am fully vaccinated. I knew it was very unlikely that I actually had COVID again. But because of the world that we live in, and I can't be the person who goes to work with a runny nose, like sneezing on kids, I took the day off and went and had to go get tested. But, which is like the wine of it all. But the cheese is that like it forced me to take a day off, which... if this wasn't COVID world, I would have just gone to work with like a stuffy nose and like feeling like I got hit by a bus. So it forced me to take a day off. Like, yeah, I did have to go get tested. But besides that, like I laid on the couch. I finally started the new season of Handmaid's Tale. Oh,
jealous.
Which I was talking to my therapist yesterday and I was like, I actually had a really nice day off. I'm like, it felt so good to like just relax and watch Handmaid's Tale, which is a very dark, depressing, and dystopian show. I'm like, oh, it felt so good. She's like, okay. But no, like, I don't know. So it was, I felt like crap, but I actually needed that day so much. Like, I felt like a new person coming out of it the next day. Yep. And especially the day after that, where I don't think that would have happened if the COVID world didn't force me to actually take that day off and like relax.
Your body was like, here you go. You need this.
Yeah. I think it probably doesn't help that I'm just, like, you know, pregnant and just so, like, uncomfortable and, like, worn out that my immune system probably just didn't stand a chance. My test came back negative, in case you're wondering.
Surprise.
That would be, like, the biggest anomaly if you had it.
It does happen. Because,
like, you already had COVID and you're fully vaccinated, so what are the freaking chances?
It was to the point where I was like, do I even go get tested?
Right.
But I also, like, don't feel I don't feel like it's responsible for me to go back to work without getting tested. After, like, everyone's like, why are you, like, where were you? Oh, I was all sick with a cold.
Yeah.
Like,
right, yeah.
I feel like that's a little sketchy, so I'm like, whatever, I just went and got one anyways. But got that thing shoved up to my brain for no reason, but it's okay. All as well. But yeah, that was my wine. My cheese is that we had a really good weekend on Friday. Friday is the day that I'm home with Isla. I took her to the Children's Museum and it was so much fun. We took her like, I don't know, February or something like that. And it was cute, but you could tell she just like didn't really know what was going on kind of. And this time I took her and she was just like so independent, like running around, playing with all the toys. I had to like be very creative in trying to move her along to each station or we would have like been in each section like for hours. But she loved it and it was just so much. I was a cute little mommy and Isla day. And what was it, the next day or the day after maybe? We had a bunch of friends over. Brooke and Shane came over with Shay and a couple other friends and we just like grilled and played in the kids played in the little kiddie pool.
It was fun.
Froze their asses off.
I know, and they didn't want to get out.
They wouldn't get out. But yeah, it was just a fun little weekend. And unfortunately, it's Memorial Day weekend this weekend. The weather looks like crap. But I'm glad we got a good weekend out of it.
I like the video of Isla's like just patting Shay on the head.
Poor Shay. She just like pats babies on her head. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, Shay is older than her.
Shay's older, yeah. I think that's why I thought it was so funny.
But Shay's got a baby head.
She does. Oh. She really does. Yeah, it was fun. Megan, what about you?
So my cheese is that daycare is closed Friday, which is tomorrow. So I just had to take a personal day. And so I took my final, but if our personal days are, if you don't use them, you lose them. Mm-hmm. So my maternity leave was all sick time. So I had one personal day left. So I just gonna take it. And tomorrow will just be Eliza and mom day, which it'll feel like maternity leave again, I feel like. Mm. But so because of that, I get a 4-day weekend.
Sweet.
Because Monday we don't have school, so it worked out nice. And then once I come back from that 4-day weekend, it's the last full week of school. Seniors, goodbye. Today was the last day. So.
When's your last day?
My last day is June 9th. That's
everybody's like getting out service. So early. I feel like
ours is the 17th.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We didn't have any snow days this year.
We only used two.
Oh, why is it so late? Yeah, the last student day is the 8th. And then the 9th, last teacher's day. So I'm almost out of school.
It's kind of which is exciting.
Nice. Yeah. Jealous. And then my wine is just a small random one. So I kind of talked about this, I think, in one of my takeover weeks. But we're having, like, or well, they came today, professional, like, landscapers come fix our backyard because it's, like, disgusting because of meadow, but also just the way it is, it collects a lot of, like, rainwater, so they evened it out and all that good stuff. But anyway, so Monday, we only have half days of work, so we get out at 12. And for those of you who don't know, my husband and I work at the same place. And so we left Eliza at daycare till her normal time, and I was like, I'll help you do yard work. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, you know what? It'll probably be, like, really relaxing to just put my headphones in and be one with the earth or whatever. If you say that you like yard work, you're a fucking liar. You are lying to yourself, to everybody else. What I had to use a metal stick to carve a hole around all these weeds and pull up a bunch of, like, worms.
Ew.
And get dirty, and I just... Not for me. I was like, I didn't really like that.
I'm with you on that. So. I'm with you on that. I like to think that I would be good at yard work and like it, but every time I get like 20 minutes in and I'm exhausted.
They're just like hot. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
I have no desire. I see like everyone's always into like gardening this time of year and like putting out new flower beds. And I'm like, that sounds so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And, like, so much work. And all for, like, what?
But, so anyway, you're a liar, if you like it.
Or you're a green aura.
I'm just sad, because I am a green aura, and I'm just not into it.
Ryan enjoys it, but...
Do you think he's a liar?
But then he'll be like, you think I like doing this? I'm like, well, yeah. You do it enough.
Sometimes I feel like, though, like, a lawn for... men, I know that's kind of stereotyping, but is like a status thing. I don't know. It needs to look a certain way. It's kind of like
nice when your lawn looks nice.
And it's like us with the interior. Like, you know, we like to decorate the inside a little bit, and then they could give two shits about what like pictures are hanging on the living room wall, but they care about the yard.
I don't know.
I mean, I want it to look nice.
I don't want to be the one that does it. I don't want to be the one exactly. Who is laying in earthworms. Listening to a podcast, like, that's not... that my skin is burning off? Yeah, no. Anyway. Brooke, what's your wine and cheese?
So my wine is more of, like, a mom fail. On Friday, Shane and I decided that we were going to go out to dinner, which we haven't really done a lot because of COVID, and we were bringing Shay with us. And so it was also PJ day at work. So I was in like sweatpants and like, I mean, I probably could have passed as being just like a lazy person, but, you know, I didn't want to go out to dinner in what I was wearing. So I was going to go just the way, the location of everything to pick up Shay. I have to drive and then like where we were going to dinner, it wouldn't make sense for me to go home and change. So I was like, I'll go really quick and I'll stop at Martin's if anyone who lives in New England. what is Martin's? I should have bought it when I saw it at Martin's. Just in case anyone was wondering. Really nothing special. But anyway, so I was like,
I was going to say, ooh, that's a big risk because you don't know what you're going to find.
No, and I was like hoping that there was at least like a pair of shorts or a dress or something, because sometimes you go and you can find some like cute like Old Navy stuff. So I grab Shay from daycare and she's like in a horrible mood because they've been out in the sun all day and she wanted to change her shoes. So I was like, fine, I'll change your shoes in the car seat. I put her in her car seat, change her shoes, drive to Martin's, which was probably like, I don't know, 5 or 10 minute drive. And when we got to Martin's, realized that I never buckled her in. So I just felt like such a shitty mom. This is unfortunately not the first time that something like that has happened. Look, I mean, before she was really like, she was like a baby. We drove a lot further though. But yeah, so, you know, just a mom fail. Luckily we didn't get in an accident, but drove around town and with an unbuckled toddler.
I feel like you're definitely not the only person.
Yeah.
I almost did that this morning.
Oh, good.
A ton of people who are like, at least it wasn't me. Or not at least it wasn't me. That's not what I meant. I don't know why I said that. The other way around.
Your problem, like, not mine.
Oh, that's who did I say that to? Remember?
Oh, your wasn't that the lady at Target?
Yeah.
She like walked up to you. You said, your problem.
Your problem. Like, instead of you're welcome.
You're good.
No problem. No, you're problem. Welcome. That's I said, right. Your problem. Anyway, I meant there are people who are going to be like, that's totally me too.
Yeah, I'm your sure. Problem. I'm sure I'm not the only one that is my problem.
And you suck.
Me alone.
No, I seriously came so close to doing that this morning. The only reason I didn't is when I went to go shut the door, Isla started like clacking the chest out together.
She was like, hey.
Oh shit. Whoops.
Well, Shay just didn't care because she had her sandals on instead of her sneakers. So, and then I didn't even find anything. It was awful. I found like this dress that was way too big on me. And then I went to Walgreens and bought flowery shorts that were there. It was bad.
I didn't know Walgreens had clothes.
They have a very small clothes section. That's how desperate I was to not wear.
You should have went to the lost and found at school.
Like I'd fit into any of that. I don't think they have teacher clothes.
I've gotten nice jackets before.
Yeah, but you also work at a
high school.
You also teach
high school.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm wearing like 10-year-old boy shorts or something.
Some cargo shorts.
And then my cheese, and I already posted about it on the Instagram, is that Shay, I'm calling it. I'm saying it counts. Shay pooped on the potty. The backstory pretty much is she has an issue with like holding her poop. And so it's very clear when she's holding, and we've been having to give her Miralax. And so there was one night she didn't have her diaper on and she was definitely holding it. And I was like, no, you're going on the potty. And I pretty much forced her to sit on it. And she went. So I was like, we're going to count that.
Yay,
you didn't
yay.
Exactly choose to, but it's a step. And then the next night, the same thing happened. She was in the bath and I was like, oh, you're going poop. And then she was like sopping wet. I pulled her out and she was like slipping and sliding and I had her over like the toilet and she was like fighting me. And then she went and it like rolled, missed the toilet and rolled on the floor. But we still counted it too. Like, yay.
So much poop on your floor.
Hey, she's going to. She'll be like, this lady really wants me to go on this toilet, so.
Well, I'm like, no judgment to anyone who uses, like, food as a reinforcer for, like, a prize or whatever, but I'm trying to avoid doing that, and I'm like, I don't know what else to do besides scream yay and, like, have, like, a big party and throw, like, 80 stickers at her.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think it's gonna stick forever, but it was just exciting to kind of hit that milestone. Yeah, and she'll sit on the potty. Just sit. She won't, like, choose to, like, go. But so, like I said earlier, today's episode is about boundaries. I feel like that's something that's really been, like, a big term in the past, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, where people are talking about, like, setting boundaries and why they're important and that sort of thing. And not to talk about Glennon Doyle for like the 18th episode in a row, but I think this just made me understand boundaries much better. She was talking about like she envisions like her family on an island, and then around her island is a moat with like alligators and crocodiles and sharks and stuff in it or whatever. And there's a bridge, but they only let people across the bridge who are going to come with like love and acceptance. And like, you kind of think of it as the moat is the boundaries that you set, and you kind of choose to allow people to come across that bridge when they're bringing like love and acceptance of you or your family or whatever it is. And it just kind of made a nice visual for me to like think about boundaries and the point of boundaries, and like also that sometimes boundaries have to be set with people that you love and care about. You might always think like, no, like that's my mom or my sister or, you know, even like my husband or whatever, but if they're not gonna come to your island with like love and acceptance, then you have to pull up that bridge and not let them across. So I struggle with boundaries, but that kind of like solidified it for me and like what boundaries really, like the purpose of them are. And that's to only allow love and acceptance and respect into your little island.
Yeah. And I think that I think one, boundaries, like it's kind of like a buzz phrase or whatever, buzzword. But I think it's because for the first time, my perception is that it's okay to have boundaries now. Like, people are more accepting of being like, yeah, you know what? If someone's not filling your cup and they're just continually taking from it, you're allowed to put up a wall or a moat, or you're allowed to decide how they interact with you and how they have, like, access to you. I feel like that's the big thing for me that I think of when I think of boundaries, is that idea of access. Like, who has access to me and access to what I can give.
I think, like I have written in my notes here, people pleaser. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I and most of us and most of our parents and whatever have just always been raised to be like a people pleaser. Like, do what makes other people comfortable or what's polite, quote unquote. But basically, like, I feel like, and I think this relates, we've mentioned a couple times before on the podcast about how being an empath or being empathic, like feeling other people's feelings. So for me personally, it's like I grew up always wanting to be like a people pleaser, always wanting other people's approval, always wanting to make other people feel comfortable. The second I feel somebody else feel uncomfortable, I will alter whatever I'm doing to avoid that situation. And that's like, I think, really hard for me and probably many other people in our generation, mm-hmm. to put that aside and worry actually about yourself and your own family and not about these other random people, whoever, even if they're not random, you know, some, like Brooke said, sometimes it's your mom, your sister, your aunt, whatever.
Because you're, like, good. If you're, like, I think it just, like, when you say people pleaser, I think of me when I was a little kid in school.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about this before, too. Kind of having your personality, like, stifled in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I was, when I first entered school, I was very, like, extroverted, you would use the word like bossy, maybe like leader or whatever. But then there was a huge point in time in school where I was just like, I need to be good, so I would just blend into the background and just be quiet. And when I could have, I mean, that's not necessarily a boundary, but I didn't know what boundaries were as a kid, but I could have been like, no, this is, I don't want to people please. I don't know. But I also think that, like, going off of that, boundaries, I think, almost always equal guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're first learning to try to set them.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Especially because you're basically reprogramming your brain. So if, mm-hmm. like, for me personally, if I'm so used to just, like, altering things to ease the tension or to make somebody else comfortable, that if I'm all of a sudden going to maybe stand up for myself or just set up, you don't have to be forceful. It doesn't have to be, like, mm-hmm. brash. It can just be, like, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. I'm going to do it this way because that's what's best for me and my family. If I ever do say that, which I have more often lately, I will think about that for days. Mm-hmm. I will not be able to sleep because I will play that over in my head.
Yeah.
Over and over again. And then I have to just keep reminding myself, like, about the boundaries and that I need to protect myself and my family more than I need to worry about other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like not only is there like guilt, but like selfishness. Like I feel for
yeah, like
for
I'm
me,
being selfish.
Yeah, and for me, like my issue with boundaries is that, and I was just talking about this in therapy, is that I go back and forth between like, is this boundary selfish and I'm doing this and making the other person like feel bad? It's just so hard to separate yourself. And I think like setting boundaries with like people you don't really know, or one of my notes is like social media. Like that's so easy to just like, one of my boundaries is I stopped following a bunch of the Kardashians and like celebrities on mm-hmm. Instagram because I didn't want to see that anymore. And it's not who I am as a person. And that was like so easy. But when it comes to like boundaries with people who are closer to you, especially if they're family, it's so much harder. And it goes back to like being raised. I feel like for me and for most people, you're told like family is family mm-hmm. and like you should always love them no matter what. But I don't, and I'm not, I hope like family that's listening, like this is nothing against them, but sometimes you do have to cut family off.
I was going to say like part of the guilt is sometimes you have to decide, Mandy said, like to protect your family, you have to decide to eliminate someone. I know that sounds bad, or like cut them out. And I have a family member. It's on my side of the family and it's not my mom or dad, but it is a close family member. And they're a narcissist, I'll just say. And they affected me, my entire family negatively forever. And I just am done with it. And I think it was having Eliza that, and probably therapy too, that made me like be like, I don't want to carry this negativity in my life, because every single time that I interact with them, it's a very negative experience. It drains me. It's toxic. It brings back a lot of like inner child stuff that I've had to like deprogram for myself. And this person actually recently left me like a really nasty voicemail because I think they've noticed that I am not going to interact with them. And it just made me so upset because I'm like, that's okay. I definitely made the right choice because you don't get to have access to my daughter and I by treating me that way. Mm-hmm. And so it sucks and it's hard. And I'm sure that there will continue to be like repercussions from that. But that's been a really hard boundary for me to set. And it is with a family member and it comes with so much guilt, but it's okay. And I have to keep telling myself that it's okay. And I think that hearing other people say that makes it easier to be like, oh, you have a family member that you, just because they're family doesn't mean automatic unconditional love, regardless.
Just because you share genetics doesn't mean that that person has a right to weasel their way into dictating any part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think becoming a parent makes it, I don't want to say easier to set boundaries, but it just makes it like more of like a, I think before I had children, I didn't even think about boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'd even like, honestly, you would say that word to me and I wouldn't even know what you were talking about when it comes to setting boundaries with other people. So yep. I think having children, like it makes you realize, okay, I'm not just protecting myself now, I have to protect somebody else. And
yep.
I, like you said, I've suffered with this negativity or this, that, and the other for so long, but now it's not just me we're talking mm-hmm. about here. And it's my duty to kind of protect mm-hmm. the other people in my family from this as well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to always be, I know we're talking about people, and it is, I think, a lot of times people, but it could be, you know, life or things or certain events yep. or mm-hmm. maybe feeling like you need to attend certain things or watch certain things or do certain things and setting boundaries with those as well.
Yeah. That's one of my things is like saying no.
Yep.
I think something, I don't know, the pandemic has kind of blurred the lines, but I think I got better at saying no and not having like a reason or an excuse of saying no mm-hmm. to things. So some, like, I am more introverted and I need more alone time. And again, before kids and having a bunch of other things that like wear me down, I would go out with my friends all the time. Like I would go out and it would just be like fine. But then now that, you know, I have a full-time job and I have a kid that I want to like dedicate a bunch of my energy to, like sometimes you have to say no to like social things, even things that like I do want to go to, but I have to understand for me, I need to value my alone time and like self-care over being with my friends sometimes, which sucks because then I miss out on things. But at the same time, it's just better for my mental health to be like, nah, I need to just stay in tonight and binge watch Netflix and go to bed early. So like that's an example of like a boundary that isn't even like, I think boundaries always come off as like a bad thing or like cutting people out of your life or whatever. But like I have to set boundaries even with people I enjoy being with.
That you want to stay in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, Megan, too, like while you were talking, and this is just a question that I'm popped into my head, and we're not professionals, so I don't know the answer to this, but do you feel like you should tell a person when you have a boundary with them, or do you think it's better to just wait till they ask you, or?
I think it depends on the situation, because if you, like the person that I'm talking about, telling them about the boundary, it would absolutely 100% not be.
Well, if they're a narcissist, that's just not gonna...
It's not gonna... It would just turn back around on how awful I am and make me feel 300 times more guilty.
Yeah.
But I think there are other people in your life where you can absolutely be like, I need to set this boundary with you.
For some people, you can, like, set a boundary and they can respond to that boundary, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. You know, they might be willing to change or they might be willing to work on themselves and then, you know, you might not need that boundary or you still have that boundary, but... That person can now be let onto your island because that's not a boundary issue for that person anymore. Or, like, I feel like it can change over time.
Yeah, no, I think that if it's not someone that you're, like, my example was very extreme, like, cutting someone out. But if it's someone that you don't want to be cut out, but you want to establish, like, I think a good example would be, actually, I don't know if this is where you're going with this, but dealing with you and your partner's in-laws, like, both sets. Your partner probably has some boundaries because they you weren't raised the same usually. Probably there's some nuances that are different. So you have to figure out how you're going to work as a family unit. And I think that part of that is figuring out boundaries with each other. Mm-hmm. But I think that hopefully, like for some people or most people, I hope that it's like you can have conversations and you can like set boundaries and it's not like we're done, whatever.
Right.
Like in relationships like that.
I feel like a lot of times you can probably initiate it with a conversation. Like, if it's something as, like, I don't want to say simple, but, like, you know, meeting a baby for the first time and being like, I don't want you to kiss my baby. Mm-hmm. And, like, setting that boundary. And that's just, like, a first thing to say and to put it out there. And then from there, if that person just blatantly disrespects you and says, which I have had multiple people be like, I'm kissing that baby when it comes out. Like, things like, okay, now you're just blatantly.
Yeah,
now you're just... being rude and you're disrespecting the boundary I'm putting up there.
Right.
And that's when I think when you have people who aren't taking you seriously and clearly don't really care about your boundaries, mm-hmm. or like Megan was saying, a lot of people tend to turn it around and make it seem like you are now the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. It's like gaslighting you, essentially.
Gaslighting, exactly. That's the term. Then that's when I think you kind of slowly just sort of, I would at least, and have faded myself out of certain situations with certain people and just given them less and less time. Mm-hmm. And less attention, because then you just, at that point, it's like you're just, I mean, you're not going to ever win that battle with, like, a conversation.
Right.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You can kind of, like, gates closed for my island now. Like.
Yeah. I was thinking of, like, Glennon Doyle's example is her mom when Glennon was, like, getting a divorce and, like, doing all this stuff that was, like, really big. And her mom was, like, scared and worried for her. And Glennon was like, you're not welcome around my family until you deal with whatever fear you have going on for us, because that's just bringing fear to my family. Mm-hmm. And in that example, her mom was like, yeah, I will work on that. And she let her back onto the Love Island when she like dealt with her own things. And then
you say Love Island.
Aww, love that show.
On season 6
of Love Island. Yeah, I think that
I'm not sure that's a realistic.
She was lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's awesome. And I think, like, if you have a great relationship with certain people where you can't, because I think a lot of times, too, people sometimes don't know that they're, like, crossing a boundary, right, or pushing a boundary. For example, like, I bring up the kissing babies or something along those lines where someone just thinks that they're showing your baby affection, but maybe they don't really understand, like, how dangerous that is or uncomfortable it is or blah, blah, blah. You bring it to their attention, they can be really receptive of that. I don't know. I don't think as many people would perceive that conversation that she had with her mom as, like, you're right, this is a great opportunity for personal growth. Like, I don't think many people would react that way. I wish.
My mom would be like, all the things I've done for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that my mom is not the toxic person I was talking about. 100% not, but... So you kind of brought up like COVID, I guess maybe like giving you a different perspective on boundaries. And I think for me, it 100% did with work boundaries. I just am like historically someone who has a poor work-life balance. I'm like always working two jobs for, I don't know why, but I just am. And just always saying yes to things. And for me, sometimes it's like a personal, I have to create boundaries with myself because there's this part of my brain. I'm a Capricorn, by the way, so that's probably why. But like, there's just this part of me that's like, success, work, do everything, be the best, blah, 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 blah. But like, that's not...
Red aura. Mm.
Yeah, that too. But that's not like realistic at all. I can't say yes to every single committee or every single thing. There was a point in time where I was going to go back to grad school to get like... my doctorate to become a principal. And then I just had to tell myself, like, you need to set a boundary for yourself that this is not actually what you want right now. Like, you want to have a family and all that. Like, no, I know you can absolutely do both. But for me, I needed to just, like, chill. So I just worked, I got a second job, and... anyway, and for me, COVID, like, when we went into remote learning, it was so new and so unknown that there was this, like, expectation to, like, give your kids your phone number. Because, like, I have high schoolers, so, like, obviously they all text and stuff like that. Because we were just trying to, like, pull them through, get them to pass, blah, blah, blah. So it was just sort of easier to just say, hey, here's my phone number. But that opened up this, like, huge expectation of, hey, you can have access to me whenever you want. Mm. So it sent this message to both kids and parents that this is my job, so it must be every single thing that I am. So you can have access to me whenever you want. And that was not good. But I think that it, I've been trying to sort of change my work-life balance because I knew I would eventually want to have kids, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to be burnt out because being a teacher... you, or any, like, I wrote down here, any caregiving field, you need to set boundaries for yourself, like, whether it's inner and outer with the people that you are taking care of and working with. So when we went into this year, I don't answer kids' questions after 2:30 when I go home. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to answer a parent thing after 2:30 because, or on weekends or days off, because... I'm not getting paid to do that. And two, I can't give someone access to my entire life. Mm-hmm. You can have access to my professional life, but you cannot have access to my whole life. And I think that compassion fatigue is real. And I think that that is because in a caregiving job, you are expected to give all of yourself. And that's totally not realistic. And you have to set boundaries or you're going to just die. Like, that's basically what it feels like.
Slow, painful death.
Yeah. Of emails and text messages about your fucking essay that you didn't do.
I feel like it is, like, definitely caregiving roles, but I do think that our country has an issue with seeing teachers as only teachers, and that they are not, like you said, they are not, like, allowed to have anything outside of that. Like, you know, don't go out and drink and get wasted because what if a, you know, a parent sees you out or,
right?
I don't know. I just think that, and it is another job that they expect you to work after hours or earlier than you normally would or answer emails on the weekend. And like,
in the first couple of years of teaching, I probably wouldn't have gotten as good at my job as I am if I didn't spend that extra time. Mm-hmm. But now that I have like more of a life outside of it, I've made those boundaries for myself, and it makes coming home from work so much better. Because I'm like, I'm just gonna leave it, and it'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that I learned at my last job a lot about boundaries and self-care and, like, leaving work at work and home at home. But being in teaching now, it's much harder because it's you don't have... especially being, like, a first-year teacher, you don't have time during the day to do everything that you need to do. And if you don't do it at home, it's not going to be ready for the next day. And like, yeah. That's part of like my time management issue. But I just think a lot of teachers everywhere take work home and just yeah. look at it as like, I'm just a good teacher. And if you don't have work to bring home, you're not doing it right type of thing. Right. Or like spending
that's
all your
own.
That's
not to say I don't have to do that sometimes to maintain my job. But I mean, for right. the most part.
Or like the same idea with like money, like spending money on your classroom to have like yeah. the fanciest things or decorations. Or it's important, like you said, to set those boundaries to make sure. Like, you're not going to be that great at your job if you're burnt out anyway, so.
And maybe not even a caregiver roles, that's what I'm talking about in mind, but also just, there's only so much you can give to other people and, like, the relationships you have, too. Whether it's, like, for me, it's definitely, like, students who just need, which is fine because mm-hmm. that's the field I went into, but I need to know when to turn it off. But I feel like people could probably feel that way with, like, coworkers and clients and things like that as well.
Yeah. And I don't want to speak for Shane, but I think like he is a supervisor and he's paid salary, so he's expected to be available all the time and to respond to messages and phone calls all the time. And like he's gotten a lot better at trying to have like the work life balance, especially since having Shay. You know, I was like, don't answer your phone, turn your phone off after 6. Like, but then again, if you do that and you miss an important call, then you're gonna, yeah. you know, you're going to get yelled at by your boss or something, whatever it is. But I think, yeah.
I think our real takeaway is not, it's on us to create these boundaries. It's our society that's like, you have
capitalism.
To be on 100% of the time. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to work.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. It's not really, yeah, the more we talk about it, it's really not even just caretaking jobs. Like, really, our society expects you to dedicate at least 40 hours a week.
Any job.
Yeah. And if you're not doing that, then you're a lazy piece of shit. So
it's yep. honestly so crazy to think that you are expected to spend 40 hours of your week like slaving at a job when like, but if you think about it, if someone like you think about your life and someone wants to know more about your life, like, are you going to sit there and talk about your job? No, you usually talk about your family mm-hmm. and your hobbies and things that you love outside of work, but you spend the majority of your life at work.
At work, yeah.
While you're talking about teaching, all I could think about was Phil and his previous job, and he's not mm-hmm. a teacher at all, but he was like a slave
just on
to
demand.
Overtime.
Yep.
Yeah. And he was also a supervisor, and he just, everything was, oh, I got to work so much overtime. And I'd be like, why?
Yeah.
Because well, I have to. I can't let these people down, and I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, then how am I ever going to like get promoted? Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah. And then he actually started his new job right after Isla was born, and his hours are different and the expectations are different, and he's allowed to like leave work at work, and he is a new person. Mm-hmm. Like, he's
oh,
a
yeah.
different human being.
That has to be so nice.
Yeah, it's just so crazy that our society does like put those kinds of expectations on people. And I think in the end, a lot of times those kinds of expectations end up like, I mean, there are no boundaries. So then it bleeds into your personal life. Mm-hmm. And then it really, really negatively affects either your relationships or your family or sometimes even like finances in different ways. And I think it's just
sure.
crazy, the expectations. And I think making boundaries, and it's another situation where you look like a jerk sometimes when you have yeah. to set those boundaries. I don't like to answer. I rarely answer emails after hours. Not that I'm getting like, I don't have students emailing me or anything like that. Yeah. But even like, oh, hey, can you check this paperwork? Hey, can you do that? And unless that paperwork is due that second and it's like my fault that it's going to be late, I'll look at it in the morning.
No.
Like
yeah.
When I go to work and I sit at my desk, that's when I like answer emails.
Mm-hmm. I don't, this reminded me that I don't know why I didn't bring this up, but just like you were saying, like, people email you, like, I'll just look at it in the morning. I had a parent ask me if their kid could come in on Saturdays and evenings to get extra help. Well, yeah. actually, my answer was absolutely not. I said, that's absolutely not an
like,
option.
What is this, a breakfast club?
I know. Actually, I used to do Saturday detention.
Yeah,
but I paid
that's
for
different.
It. Anyway. But I was like, that's not an option at all. And I wanted to be like, how dare you think that I'm available anytime,
right.
24 hours a day. Like, no one's going to be here on Saturday, but he's more than welcome to come sit on the steps and do some homework. Mm-hmm.
Like, he can come on the property if he wants to,
yeah.
but I won't be here.
Wow.
Yeah. But, and like, and that's, I think that's just people's perception. It's just like, if that's your job, I can have access to you. Whether I'm a teacher, whether I work at a different type of job. I don't
waitressing, bartending, yeah,
anything like
corporate,
that.
Like I honestly think like, and I have been more recently like telling Shane mostly because like I feel like when you're in a helping career, a job is a little bit more than a job to you. But I've had to say like a job is a job. Like that's not who you are as a person. Like it doesn't define you. It doesn't matter. And like Mandy said, when you're old, are you going to be looking back and be like, oh, I'm so happy? All I can picture is like Disney movies where like the dad's a workaholic and is never around and the kids are like, daddy, we miss you. Like I just feel like nobody wants that, but that's what ends up happening.
Set some boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of those jobs that you listed, like waitressing or something, or nursing, where they're always asking you to pick up shifts. And if you set that boundary, we were talking about this with another friend the other day, that like you feel like you have to make an excuse, right? Like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't cover your shift. I have, you know, these really big dinner plans. Oh, I'm so sorry, I already promised so-and-so this and that. Or no, you can just say no.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You weren't on the schedule. You weren't expected to work that. You're allowed to get days off and you earn those days off. And honestly, you should probably get more than what you already have off.
Yep.
You don't have to give anybody an excuse. Yeah. I remember when I used to work just like my college job, like my job on the side of college, and I would like just screen my phone calls and not even pick it up if they called me because I knew they were going to like guilt trip me into coming in for a shift that I wasn't on the schedule for, because you look like an asshole if you say nope, like, and just leave it at that and just like leave that boundary. I'm allowed to have my personal time, and that's for like anything. I mean, if someone asks you to do them a favor or ask them, actually this reminds me of like a TikTok series I've been seeing of like this guy who's like, now that I'm older, things that like I'm just going to say no to. And it's like, you know, my friend's asking, hey, can you help me move? He's like, no. Like, I'm just done doing that. I'm over that. I'm not carrying all the boxes into your house. No. The answer is no. I have no reason besides I don't fucking want to.
Well, the thing is, like, cheese, pizza, and a beer is not equivalent to me throwing my back out for a week to help you move.
Listen, I'm all about helping your friends, yada, yada. But I'm just saying, like, the fact that we do feel like we need to have an excuse for some things like that, where if it's not like you had a shift and now you're saying, no, I'm not coming to it.
Right.
But like you're allowed to set boundaries for yourself outside of work and outside of any role.
And our like society, that's just so like.
Just saying no.
Taboo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way sometimes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just recently asked for some time off for an appointment and I like didn't really feel that guilty. I felt a little bit guilty, but it was like, I don't have to tell them why I'm not coming in. I have the time. So like, even if you're like calling out of work or like having to change something up at work, you don't even owe them a reason then either.
It's so hard though. Even just talking about like my wine and cheese, the fact that I had to take a day off for a cold, like I'm like, I knew that I probably like, I'm sure every time I email someone to say, I say, I can't see your kid this day because of a meeting or because of that. Like, I know that teacher is like, fuck her. Like, I know it. And I know, like, I mean, it's hard. And today, I had a really rough night last night. I thought I was going to have to go into the doctor's today. They were going to try to fit me in. And I was immediately thought, but I already took Tuesday off. They're going, like, I can't miss more time from work. I can't miss these kids again. And what if there are kids that I miss 2 days or two sessions in 1 week? And, like, that's where my head goes.
Right. But you need to take care of you and your baby first, always. Yeah. That's hard. It was funny that you were saying that other people would be like, oh, fuck her. Mm-hmm. But I think that also part of this is like you have to, one step is setting boundaries for yourself, but another step is not getting mad at other people for setting the boundary. Like we had talked about other people already, but not about ourselves accepting boundaries. And I think that that's an important part too.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Or I was thinking too, like setting a boundary and then not being, I know it's hard not to feel guilty and stuff, but just remembering, like, you can only control yourself. So when you set that boundary, how they're going to react is how they're going to react. If anything, that shows you who they are, like, as a person. Because, like we said earlier, some people can be like, yeah, I totally understand that boundary. I won't do it again. And then other people are going to be like, what do you mean you won't come help me move? You're a shitty-ass person.
I feel like I had a recent situation like that where I tried to set a boundary. Person had a very big reaction. And immediately, my initial response was to recoil and be like, never mind.
Right.
Like, whatever. Have it your way. And I didn't. I'll be honest. I don't feel like I was, like, strong and, like, you know, like, assertive about it. But I didn't. Yeah, but I didn't recoil. And then later I thought to myself, like, that reaction was just proof that that person did not give a shit about my boundary mm-hmm. or what was best for me. And I do think you make a really valid point about being self-aware of other people's boundaries too, because I'm going to be completely honest. If I say, hey, I want to hang out, and my friends say, I don't want to hang out with you, I'm going to be offended. I'm going to be kind of like, fuck off.
It's nothing personal.
It's not against you. You're going to be bummed yourself, right? You're going to be like, what the hell? Like, I had a free night, yeah. So I want to hang out.
And you're going
to
sit there and be like, well, what's wrong with me that they don't want to hang out with me? But because you make it like about, I'm not saying you, but anyone, like, you make it about yourself, when if you just stop and like try to be self-aware above of their boundary, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I had talked a little bit about earlier is like setting boundaries on social media mm-hmm. and like unfollowing a bunch of celebrities, but also like setting boundaries with people you know on social media, especially with the past year and the pandemic and all the
political
stuff yeah. and the social change that's going on and the racial stuff that's going on. Like, even actually before that, I don't know about you guys, but like town Facebooks, mm-hmm. like I've had to like take myself out of those because I just couldn't. I actually rejoined one and it's been quite helpful. Because I got stuck in traffic today and I was like, what's going on? And I just went to the town Facebook and I was like, oh, okay, there's a car on fire.
I'm afraid to join our neighborhood one because they're probably like, have you heard that fucking annoying golden doodle? All it does is bark.
No, we don't have like a neighborhood one, but definitely like the towns. But yeah, like people that you're close with that you might not agree with on politics or whatever, and you know you're never going to get across to them. And mm-hmm. so, like, you know, I had a family member that I actually just like unfriended him because I just couldn't. It was just the posts would come up and like my blood would boil and I just couldn't. I knew if I stayed friends with him on social media that my respect for that person would change, and you know, it just wasn't like worth it. And then luckily I love that like Facebook has just the unfollow option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can like snooze them for 30 days or whatever, or, you know, you still stay friends. So there's no like, you know, they're not going to be like, why do you unfriend me? But it's just like, I can't see your posts because they just get under my skin and piss me off. And I feel like that's another easier, simple boundary to set. And it's okay to unfollow or even unfriend someone on social media if it's for your best interest.
Mm-hmm. I totally didn't even think of social media as like a boundary, but that's so true. When I was pregnant, like, obviously, because I complained about every single podcast episode, but I...
Let me guess, wait, you hate mom groups?
No. I was actually not going to talk about mom groups because I've talked about that enough. But that's definitely a boundary I had to set. Not in any mom groups whatsoever. But there was someone who was pregnant like at the same time as me, and she was just really... I don't know if she actually really was loving her pregnancy or just really liked to take unrealistic photos of herself pregnant and great and exercising and beautiful and loving life, which is all good and great. But I had to unfollow her because it just made me feel even more terrible about how shitty I felt. So mm-hmm. I think that those are boundaries. You have to just, whether like I like this person a lot, but I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't. So I mm-hmm. think that you're right, that social media has to have boundaries. And I think that's how you, like, use social media in a healthy way, is if you know what your boundaries are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, because I think there are a lot of positives that actually come in with social media, but mm-hmm. you just have to be able to manipulate it the correct way. And I have unfollowed many a family member, and I have unfollowed many actual group. Like, it's actually helpful if you unfollow the groups, but you stay in them. Like, you don't leave the group, but you unfollow it, so their stuff doesn't pop up on your feed. But if I wanted to go and see why there was traffic, I can just go to the group. I'm still a part of it, and I can, like, search through the stuff there.
Yeah.
I need to, like, do things like that so that these posts and these certain things are not thrown into my face. Like, when I was going through infertility, I had to hide a lot of people who were pregnant. And then I find myself, once I get pregnant, I know a lot of people who go through infertility then will not post pictures of themselves pregnancy-related or baby-related to, like, spare other people's feelings. I
just have such a hard time not posting it. I just want to like soak it up and like post all about it because it's something I wanted for so long. But I can respect that there are probably going to be a lot of people who unfollow me and probably a lot of people who at least just like hide my stuff for the time being. And like, that's okay. Like, I can respect that. Yeah. But I think that's a good point, especially because as sad as it is, we do spend so much time on social media. And so if it's a really good place of you actually being able to have control over what you see and what you take in. And the good thing is most of the time, unless you like straight up block someone, they're probably not even going to know that you no longer can see their stuff or. So that's really just like doing it for yourself, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
I even set a time limit. I finally went onto my phone and set a time limit. So
I'm not there yet, but
I even, I mean, some days I totally snooze it and I'm on it way longer, but it's nice to have like a little extra, like that's a boundary I'm trying to set for myself is spending less time on social media. But
yeah, I think we tackled a lot and we didn't even tackle like the, like all the like really like, I don't want to say superficial, but like, I feel like we just jumped right into the deep stuff, but like the superficial parts of boundaries of parenthood, like, you know, I don't want you, you know, doing this with my kid, or please don't speak to them that way. Or if he says he doesn't want to hug you goodbye, then he doesn't hug you goodbye. And that's the end. And we respect that. And, but I think that's a big piece of boundaries in parenthood too, is those like little specific.
I have, well, one, I think what we talked about is that it's sort of easier. It feels easier to set those boundaries because you're like, this protects my kid. So I don't really care what you think and I'm not going to feel as guilty. I don't, that's so far has kind of been my experience. But I feel like you have to like defend your decisions. And I think that's a boundary. And we don't always think of it that way. Like defending what is best for your family.
Right. And everybody has a different idea of what is best for their family.
Yep.
And that's another time where you have to like maybe stop and take yourself out of the situation and maybe not take things so personally and say that this is that person's wish, so I'm going to respect that, and in their house they do things this way, but if they come to my house then it doesn't have to be that way.
Yep.
And I think it's important to even like, Mandy, you said like more superficial, but like it's still important to set those boundaries and have them be respected, because again it goes back to like, if you're not going to respect even these tiny simple things, like who are you really to me? As a person, like, really, where is our relationship if you can't respect the way that I choose to feed my baby or, you know.
And I don't mean superficial like that. I just meant, like, specific things. You know, we got into, like, deep topics. Like, I guess I just meant, like,
specific. As always.
Right, like, the extreme of, like, which these can become extremes, but I think you're right that it's, like, day to day.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, for me, Megan, you said it's easier to set boundaries now that you have Eliza. I feel like I'm more aware of boundaries after I had Shay, and I want her to see how to set healthy boundaries and like why they are so important, and also like weed out the people who just aren't going to be good for us. But I find it a lot harder because I, again, it like goes back to the empath thing. Like I feel very strong in like my parenting decisions, but I can just feel the judgment or, again, like gentle parenting. Like I feel like me, if Shay falls and I'm like consoling her and like co-regulating with her and like saying it's okay to be sad, it's okay to whatever it is, like I feel like the judgment of like other people like seeping through me. And so like I feel like I've gotten better at being aware of boundaries and knowing some boundaries that I want to set. But the hardest part for me is like feeling
like it comes naturally, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel, I mean, because we're just basically reprogramming ourselves, like we said earlier, to like not care so much about what other people think. But that's hard. I find myself, like, as you were saying that, I brought up the whole thing of like not needing, like, I think it's really important to like teach like body, I always say this wrong, autonomy, right?
Autonomy? That's right. Autonomy.
Where like if, you know, I was always forced as a kid. I don't want to say forced because it's not like I cried and they've pushed it onto me, but like when you leave a house, you hug everybody goodbye. And I don't want to force Isla to touch anybody. She doesn't want, or anyone to touch her. However, I've been in situations already where she's just a toddler and whatever. If we're leaving like a grandparent's house and I'm like, oh, say goodbye to so-and-so, and they go in for a hug and she says no and runs away, I immediately feel guilty, not because I think like she I want them to, like, touch her when she says no. It's just, like, I think about them and how their feelings are probably hurt that she yeah. you know, they are so excited to see her and that she doesn't want to hug them goodbye. And that's something that I have to, like, reprogram my brain and mm-hmm. work through that, like, she's setting her boundary. And even if right now it could be have nothing to do with the fact that she just doesn't want to hug, it could just be that she's like, I don't want to leave and I'm going to have a temper tantrum about it. Like, right, it could yeah, be something right. different. But I still, like, I have to work with my own programming to, like, be able to
understand her. Like,
yeah, and, like, yeah. keep those boundaries. And I think the same thing as you, Brooke, of, like, not, if just having those boundaries and not caring about what other people think and, like, the gentle parenting and whatever. Like, I feel myself, like, my face getting hot and red and flushed mm-hmm. when situations like that happen. And I have to work through it in front of people who I know that's, like, something new to them. Whether mm-hmm. it's, I don't think it's that some people are not supportive, but they might be like, what the hell? And, like, I have to, like, hold my ground and keep that boundary. I yeah. can feel myself, like, getting nervous. Like, I'm, like, standing in front of a crowd, like, giving a speech yeah. or something.
It's like a performance. It really is. And you have to just, like, act confident in what you're doing because you know that's what you want to do. And, like, if it were just me and her at home, it would be so much easier. But then you put, like, people in front of me and I'm like, ew,
yeah, 100%.
But, so, yeah, I still feel like we could talk about boundaries forever and ever and ever. And I think there's probably a ton of stuff that we missed, or, like, I guarantee after this episode, I'm going to think back and be like, ah, crap, I wanted to talk about this, this, and this. But, yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up here. And
I have a piece of advice on, this is a superficial boundary that yeah. bothers me. If you don't live at my house, please don't come into my driveway and say, hey, I'm your neighbor, and corner us in the driveway and start to talk to us. I've never given you any indication that I want to talk to you. So, thanks.
You know what we didn't even talk about is invisible boundaries. Yeah. And
there's literally a fence around my yard. Don't come in. It's not even invisible. It's a physical boundary. That's
physical. Well, I'm just thinking, like, back to Glennon Doyle, like, in her example, when they were talking about boundaries, like, she was talking about how she puts up this persona at, like, school functions that she doesn't want to be talked to. And then she got offended when somebody yeah. told her she was unapproachable. And, like, I feel like that's me. Like, I'm like, please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me. I don't want to be talked to. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. But if somebody told me I was unapproachable, I would be like, what?
I know. I'd be upset if Ryan was like, the neighbors say that you're if they're such on, like, a bitch. The neighbor, I'd be like,
group chat. And they're
what?
Like,
what?
Yeah. Like that house with the annoying dog yeah. and the bitchy wife.
They put up a fence. What the hell?
Just wanted to bring over my casserole.
But that's, like, real life. Like, I walk up and down the streets of our road. The streets of our road. Up and down our road. And the neighbors don't even really, like, say anything to me, which is literally how I want it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then they talk to Shane, and I'm like, why will they talk to you and not me? And I'm like, duh, because I literally, like,
have your head down, like, wave. Not even.
Yeah, like, I'm going to pretend like I don't see you out in your yard. Again, we could talk about this forever. But
I'm just saying, sometimes there are clear physical boundaries.
Sometimes you just need to build a fence, and it still doesn't work.
A legit fence, you know? So, yeah, as always, rate, review, subscribe, share, go to our Instagram, moms.after.bedtime, and join in on the conversation there. For those of you who don't follow us on Instagram, we do a weekly polling questions, which are really fun because you can see. I love the polls because you can kind of see if you're more normal or not.
So Brooke is saying that if you are the minority, you are not normal.
That's
I do always feel whenever I'm like, pick the one that not everybody picked, I'm like, oh.
And then I don't know if we want to make it a weekly thing of having everyone share their cheese, but that was fun. I did that this week.
That was fun.
And had people share their cheese of the week, and it's just nice to see some positivity. So, yeah. And we will talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.